Imagine most of us, if someone were to ask you, do you want to live a good life? I would imagine most everybody would say yes. They do want to live a good life. So we're starting a series of lessons today that has that as its title. How to Live a Good Life. And as often the case when you talk about what's good, the Christian's viewpoint, God's viewpoint of what's good, is quite different than the world's viewpoint of what is good. Today's lesson is called The Man Who Forgot God. Sometimes we can find out what something is like by looking at what it's not like. And so we're going to look at a man's life today who forgot God. And that lesson is found in Luke chapter 12. I hope you have your Bibles and can open and follow along there. Luke chapter 12. We're going to be looking at a man who forgot God. Luke chapter 12. And we'll begin in verse 13. Luke chapter 12, and we'll begin in verse 13. This is the background to the lesson Jesus tells about this man. Verse 13 of Luke chapter 12 says, "Then one from the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me.' But he said to him, 'Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?' And he said to them, 'Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses.'" Now there's the background to why Jesus tells this parable about the man who forgot God. Jesus spoke a parable to them saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?'" Okay, there's the rich man's dilemma. And there's no indication here whatsoever that he had done anything illegal or unethical. He had just made a lot of money. He had a lot of possessions. So there's no reason to assume that he had gotten those possessions in an unethical or illegal way. He had simply got rich from that land that he owned. But notice all the uses of I and my and me. It was like he had drawn a circle, and the only person in that circle was himself. It was all about him. No God, no other people, nothing. It was all about himself. He had made this money and gotten all these possessions, but he never considers giving it to help people, giving it to God in any way. Never considers that, because they're not in his circle. It's just him in the circle. Doesn't think about anybody else. So that's his dilemma. Well, here's the rich man's solution. Next verse. He says, "So he said, 'I will do this.'" Here's his solution. "I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you've made many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.'" To him, it all revolved around those possessions. It was all about his possessions. He was very money-centered. He was very centered in the here and now. See, that's what he was thinking about. There's no indication here whatsoever that he was thinking about the afterlife. He may not have even believed in an afterlife. It was all about now. What can I do now? How much can I get now? What am I going to do with all my stuff that I have now? See, it was all about the here and now. All his energies had been devoted to gaining greater possessions. I mean, that was his life. He was all focused on that one thing. How can I gain as many possessions as possible? How can I make as much money as possible? So it was like he had those blinders on, And that's all he could see. That's all he could think about was how much I can make. How much can I possess? How much can I earn? That's all he thought about. And he even talks to his soul. I will say to my soul. He even thought his soul could be fed with those things. His soul says, I'm going to feed you with this money. I'm going to feed my soul with these earthly possessions. I'm going to feed my soul with the riches I've made. As if a soul could be fed with those things. But that's what he was thinking. That was what was going through his head. I'll feed my soul like that. And he believed he had done this all by himself. See, I will do this. I will pull down my barns. I'll store all my crops. I'll take it easy. I'll eat, drink, and be merry. I've done all this. I deserve this. He believed he deserved all of those luxuries. And he believed because he had this great abundance that it was all right for him to live in luxury and never consider anybody else. He thought that was fine to just pour it all on himself. He thought that was okay not to think about anybody else. Just himself. Remember, his circle only included one person. Himself. Nobody else. He thought that gave him an excuse. What mattered most to him? One writer put it like he had made a list of things to do in his life. Harvest a large crop. Build bigger barns. Achieve financial security. Eat. Drink. Be merry. Remember not to die. That would have been the last thing on his list. Remember not to die. Of course, things don't always work out. Now God steps into the picture, verse 20. Here's God's response to the dilemma that the rich man had, verse 20. But God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided?" The rich man didn't even think death would end his lifestyle. He didn't even think about dying. You know, the world might call him a good businessman or a wise investor. God was able to see through that, and God just used one word to describe him. Fool. Fool. Because he had forgotten one tiny little thing. God had given him a possession at birth that he had totally neglected. And that was his soul. He was a good steward of his crops. He was a good steward of his land. He was a good steward of his barns. He was a good steward of all these physical things. But the one thing that would last, he had neglected. And that was his soul. His greatest possession, he had totally neglected all of his life. No wonder God calls him a fool. So God gives a warning. Last verse 21. God says, "So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." How do you lay up treasure for yourself? Well, Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount said what it was. It was laying up treasure on earth. The treasures you lay up on earth and not laying up treasures in heaven, that's laying up treasures for yourself. That's what the rich man did. He was laying up treasures here on earth. And instead of being rich toward himself, God says, you should have been rich toward God. What should he have done? What does being rich toward God mean? Well, being rich in good works. Helping others. If he was a family man, being a good spouse or being a good father, being a good parent, a good neighbor, a good citizen. Being generous with your stuff. He thought that stuff could feed his soul. He thought that stuff would stay around forever. He really believed that. No wonder he's called a fool. You know, many people in life believe or think about life as if it was a game where the score is kept based on how many possessions you have. And you've probably seen the sticker or whatever. he who dies with the most toys wins. Well, that's what the rich fool thought. This rich man thought that the person that dies with the most stuff, most possessions, wins. So gaining possessions was how he thought success was measured. The more possessions, the more barns, the more possessions, the more whatever, the more successful I am. And I'll win. That was the way he thought. That's how he kept score. He also believed that game would last forever, but he found out that one day for him, the game ended. The game ended. Other people would go on and play, not him. He wasn't going to pass go, wasn't going to collect $200. It was going to be over, and that was it. No more. No more life. It was done for him. You know, worldly possessions, this isn't original by me by any means, you've probably heard this, but most of us have bought cars, or we've bought furniture or appliances or whatever. They should all come with a sticker on them. That new car or that house or that bicycle or whatever should come with a sticker on them with one word: temporary. That's what every single thing we buy should have on it: temporary. Salesmen probably wouldn't want to have those stickers put on them. I wouldn't sell as many. You mean this refrigerator's not going to last forever? Nope. Temporary. See, the rich man acted as if all of those things were permanent. But everything should have a temporary sticker on them. Turn over to James chapter 5 for just a moment. And hear what James has to tell us about these very same things. James chapter 5, we'll begin in verse 1. James chapter 5, verse 1. James says, chapter 5, verse 1, "Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you." And notice why they're weeping and howling. "Your riches are corrupted. Your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you, and you will eat your flesh like fire. You've heaped up treasure in the last days." All of those things, the riches, the garments, the gold, and the silver, should have had what on them? A sticker that said temporary. How many of us remember a really nice house or building from when we were young, and maybe we haven't seen it in a long time? We go back and see it, and it's dilapidated, it's run down. See, you should have had a sticker: temporary. This rich man didn't realize those things were temporary. But they were, every last one of them. And if you can imagine being in his funeral, a lot of people go to rich people's funeral. Probably a lot of people at his funeral. And I'm sure somebody would ask, "Well, I wonder how much he left." The answer was, he left it all. Every bit of it. Every possession, every barn, every grain of wheat or whatever he grew, every animal, every possession. How much did he leave? He left it all. Every last bit of it. Why? Because it was temporary. It was all temporary. Solomon wrote years ago in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 some words that are very fitting to our lesson. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, beginning in verse 17. He writes this, Ecclesiastes 2, verse 17. "Therefore I hated life, because the work that was done under the sun was distressing to me, for all is vanity and grasping for the wind. Then I hated all my labor which I had toiled under the sun, because I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he'll be wise or a fool? Yet he will rule over all my labor in which I toiled, in which I have shown myself wise under the sun. This also is vanity. Solomon says, look at all these things that I've gained in this life, all these possessions. Solomon says, I hate all of that. Why? Because I can't take any of it with me. I have to leave it to someone else. And Solomon said, those other people didn't deserve it. They didn't work for it like I did, but I still have to leave it. Why? Because it's temporary. That's what the sticker says. It's temporary, so I had to leave it. And I had to leave it to people, Solomon said, that may be a fool, and they waste it. So everything that we gain in this world, I'm talking about possessions that if we think about them as being temporary, then we realize that they're not going with us into the next life. The rich man just didn't realize that. It was too late for him. He left everything. It's easy to forget God when we're surrounded by possessions. It's easy to think that we've gained all of this and that we've done all this by ourselves and that we deserve to eat, drink, and be merry and reap these luxuries on ourselves and never think about anybody else. It's easy to forget God. That's what the rich man did here. He forgot God. He thought it was all him. He thought it was all himself. Even God's people can do that. A long time ago, Deuteronomy chapter 8, it happened. Or it was a warning about it happening. Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning in verse 11. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11 says, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, His judgments, and His statutes which I command you today, lest when you've eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And skip down to verse 17. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. That's just like the rich man. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant which He swore to your fathers as it is this day. It's easy to forget God when you've all your things have multiplied, your cattle, your possessions. They've all multiplied. He says it's easy to forget God. But God says, don't forget that it was Me who gave you power to get wealth. The rich man never considered that. He never considered that it was God who gave him the power to obtain those possessions and grow those crops and build bigger barns. He had forgotten that God gave him the power to do that. He didn't do that by himself. It came from God. But the rich man totally forgot that. The final lesson from this is a very simple one. When that rich man's life was over, none of those possessions that he had fed his soul. None of those possessions he had were going with him any further. That was the last day he would ever see them. None of them. He would never see or have those again, ever. The only thing that mattered on that last day was the condition of his soul. And what had he done? He had totally neglected it. He'd taken care of all of those earthly possessions, but none of those were going with him any further. It was only his soul that he would possess after. And that was the one thing he had neglected. The most priceless thing, the most precious thing, the most valuable thing God had given him, he had totally neglected. He had not fed it. He had not nourished it. He had not been rich toward God. He was rich from the world standpoint, but from God's standpoint, he was dirt poor. He was destitute. A tremendous lesson. The things in this world are temporary. Everything that God gives us, He wants us to use wisely. Be generous with your stuff. And realize all of that stuff needs to have a sticker on it saying temporary. You're not taking it with you. So God wants you to use it to help others, to bring glory to His name, to do good with it. Not to heap luxury after luxury after luxury upon you and never think about anybody else. Or you'll find yourself in the same predicament as the rich man. The rich man didn't live a good life. The world would have said he lived a good life. Had all these possessions, he could eat, drink, and be married. No. He lived an awful life. Living a good life is a life that's rich toward God. A life where you are helping others and serving others and doing good for others and being a good parent and a good spouse and a good citizen and a good neighbor. And you're sharing your stuff. That's living a good life. For Christians, we should be people who are living the best life. Because we know we're supposed to be rich toward God. We know of all people on earth that all those things do have a temporary sticker on them. We should know that more than any other group of people in the world, that those things are all temporary and none of them will go with us past this life. And the only thing that we're going to have is our soul. What if a man gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Don't lose your soul. Give it to Christ. Have your sins washed away. Come up a new creature. And live the rest of your life for Him, being rich toward God. That's the invitation. If you need to respond while David leads in a song, I encourage you to do that as we stand and sing.